This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
It is 12:34. We are talking about whether or not there's still an English language barrier for job applicants, because today is UN English Language Day, also the birth and death of William Shakespeare, 23rd of April. We've had some tweets, we've had some WhatsApps, and we've also had some Instagram messages. Let's go over to WhatsApp and have a look what we've got over there.
All right,
Frida.
But this is Anwar Jumanboy. Hi, Anwar. Says Sally, yes, there is a problem with spoken English language limiting job opportunities. Sadly, though, I often ask, why do we equate English language with smarts? You know, it shouldn't be so. Poor English doesn't hold back the Indonesians or Thais.
True.
You know, I mean, I love the advertisements, you know, the thinking behind that. And it's just Thai, and we all get it, right? Here we have Dr. Taranjit from Malacca. So English is a language of science and knowledge. Even our BM transmission now is in English. It's a window to transmit knowledge on a worldwide platform. I was bred and groomed to speak proper English solely because my parents hailed from a British colonial era in Malaya. Had things gone south back then, we would be speaking Japanese today. Here there is a mindset to belittle those who make an attempt to speak English as compared to other countries, whereby they encourage you to speak English. To the earlier point as well, from Rusi Han, while graduates with higher English proficiency may ensure better employability, it still won't solve the high youth unemployment. There's simply not enough jobs other than those in the hard labour and plantation sector.
Yeah, to address that, youth unemployment in Malaysia stands at more than 10%, three times the global average, begging the question, why are so many young Malaysians jobless? The argument is that English proficiency could be a contributing factor. According to a survey done in 2016 by the Malaysian Employers Federation, over 90% of respondents indicated that graduates need to improve on their English proficiency. So let us know, are there still English language barriers for job applicants? Why do you think they exist if they do? Let us know, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. Just before we move on to story number three, one of the things that I have noticed is that, you know, certain universities, I'm not going to name names, have graduates that when they do leave, having graduated, their level of English doesn't seem much better than when they first entered 3 years ago. And that, for me, is always leaves me with that question is, you know, why is that so? Especially if you are teaching in English, you know, why is that so? And that question always kind of hangs in my mind.
Just one other comment from Maggie here said, not English language barrier per se, but English language plus the ability to communicate that.
Very true.
Okay, so we're talking about English language, but we're also going to be addressing the work-life balance. Heavy topics for a Tuesday.
Mine will be good.
So Uncle Arvin is going to come with us and talk to us about the work-life balance and how it's impossible.
Yeah, so this is, more specifically, this is about the controversial 996 schedule that's adopted by the industry over in China. So 996 basically involves people working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. So 996.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's a common trend over there, supposedly in the tech scene especially. So Zhu Hongyi, he is the chairman and chief executive of internet security firm Kiho 360. He said that striking a right balance was an impossible task. So he said, I'll call you my big uncle if any of you seated here can say you truly balance family and work.
Now, before we move on,
he's
saying you can't balance it. That's because you're working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week, my friend.
Right. He's saying that that's the way to work. He's saying that's the way to work because you cannot balance it. So, you know, there are other ways to sort of keep employee happiness up. But, you know, having like trying to strike like a work-life balance thing, he said, is impossible. And only it only causes more stress for the people trying to achieve something like that. By the way, it also says here that calling someone a big uncle, quote unquote, is a mark of like great respect. So early in the week, Zhu suggested that the way for high-tech companies to make their employees feel better about working long hours was to make them shareholders. So he said that make them feel like you are working, like they are working for themselves, then they won't mind about the 996 schedule. So if you are like, if you're a startup owner, entrepreneur or something, then you're basically working 24/7. So you don't mind as much because you're making money for yourself. You're working for a company that you're building, right? So he's saying that if you are the shareholder of your own company, then you don't mind any kind of schedule. let alone the 996. But don't make people feel like they can have a balance between work and life, because he's saying that that just doesn't happen. And no one has been able to sort of hit that mark. He's echoing comments that came from Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba. And Jack Ma expressed his support for long working hours, calling it a huge blessing that many companies and employees do not have the opportunity to have.
I'll chip in afterwards.
Yeah, the opposite of this logic is a group of software developers. They sparked a nationwide discussion last month after taking to the code hosting platform GitHub, and they complained about 996. They said that working long hours for prolonged periods was making them ill, and that they were destined to end up in the intensive care unit. So it's a debate. It's a debate.
It's not a debate, right? It's about two tech tycoons who are making billions off of people who are working to death, literally working to death. You know, and we've seen proof of this, and we've seen how people who get sick and who are overworked and underpaid and whatever just are not functional after a period of time.
Yeah.
We've also seen this movement. And I don't want to say in the West, but it has been mainly in the West, of the move to a four-day work week, mm-hmm. or sometimes even a three-and-a-half-day work week, and how, you know, productivity has actually gone up because of that, because people have had that time to just relax a little bit and feel comfortable about going back to work, refreshed, feeling, you know, confident and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. This idea is like, you know, we want to get ahead of everybody else. We want to be able to be the best, the fastest, the quickest, the most dynamic. And the only way to do that is to make sure we are working harder and longer than everybody else.
996.
So, mm-hmm. okay, so I'm reading the article here. So somebody commented on their Weibo, dedication to work is not working long hours all the time. Now, this gentleman, Zhou, has a net worth of US $5.6 billion, according to the latest Forbes Rich List. Now, if that is on your agenda, which is fine, right? And I get it. And you need employees to work with you. Long term, this is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. How is this normal? I don't know. I guess, you know, when they take such pride in these sort of stories and people fall, now, like, what is your objective at the end of the day? I mean, I can understand if that is your objective, right? But to sustain this for 10 years of... Why? And so you're worth $5.6 billion. Why? Is it the yacht? Is it to, you know, tell everybody I've got the yacht? And if that's your thing, that's great. Mm. But to have employees be on that journey with you, maybe shareholders, I don't know.
I mean, okay, if we look at this in like a historical context, you know, as a species, we generally used to work from dusk until dawn, whether it be 6 or 7 days a week. And this is before the whole 9 to 5, 5 days a week thing existed. So there's that argument to be had of like, we are capable of doing it. It's just that over time, we've adopted and we've adapted and we've changed the way in which we work to this method.
I wouldn't say capable that much, because we had shorter lifespans back
then.
That
was going to be my point. Yeah. The point was, when we did it like that, we lived to be 40 years old.
25.
Yeah.
A ripe old age of 40.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily the most productive.
No. It actually also says here that the way these companies work, it's like a meat grinder. So it's, you know, like you said, it's not sustainable. It's not good for them mentally or physically. And such companies just benefit from one batch of young employees after another.
Right. And, you know, Christina just passed me a note. You look at stuff like, you mentioned Korea a little bit earlier on in Japan. They have these problems with people literally working themselves to death. They've caused, you know, it's a disease. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. Over time, that workforce will just... Then again, this is China. You know, the door will open and 10 more people will walk in, won't they? I don't know. Anyway, ladies and gents, if you're only just joining us, of course, we are talking about... It is International English Language Day from the UN. And are there still English language barriers for job applicants is the question that we are asking. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 if you want to take part in the conversation. If you want to discuss with us via via Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. I'm just feeling like I'm doing 996. That's all it is. that's where we're at. We're going to take a short break with some music coming up from Iron and Wine with Naked As We Came. When we get back, story number 4. Amazon says the stars want you to shop, don't they, Frida?
Yeah, that would be a story on a lighter note.
On a lighter note, yes. Enlightening note, perhaps. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.